Freshman GOP women turn on one of their own. Is the fierce force shrinking already? You'll have to stay tuned to find out. This is the Smart Girl Politics Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Smart Girl Politics Podcast. I am Terry Kristoff. Happy to be back with you. This is our third podcast in under a week, so we're making a habit out of it, and I'm having fun, and I hope you are too. What I'm doing with today's podcast is giving you the updates from last Friday's Fierce newsletter. And if you didn't know, I have started a newsletter. Been around about a month now, charting the Fierce Force, that's what I call them, and they are the ladies of the GOP freshman class. I figured that was one of the bright spots of the 2020 elections. So I chart them and how they're doing and what they're doing and maybe not doing, and also bring in some of the other ladies too that I think are interesting out there, the conservative women. Kristi Noem, Nikki Haley, we'll see what she's going to be up to, Sarah Sanders. So it's kind of a... It's just keeping an eye on the conservative women in politics and seeing what they're up to. And this week, I am going to recap the big stories from the Fierce newsletter from Friday. So there were three things that I felt were the top three stories. Marjorie Taylor Greene. I went on a little bit of a Marjorie Taylor Greene kick last week, trying to learn what the two sides of the issue. And it's not as black and white as maybe it's being portrayed in the media. So I've kind of delved into her, and she was removed from her committee assignments with three of her Fierce Force colleagues voting to remove her. So thought that was a big story. Liz Cheney, she got to keep her GOP leadership post. And Nancy Mace, who, if you read the newsletter, I've been a little bit critical of, she goes savage on AOC, which is really what I was looking for the Fierce Force to do. So let's get into it. We're only 4 weeks into the new Congress. I'm already sensing we need to remove a few of the freshman GOP ladies from the Fierce Force. The House voted last week to whether or not to remove GOP freshman firebrand Marjorie Taylor Greene from her committee assignments. And I did a semi-deep dive into Marjorie Taylor Greene and what she said. It's over on Fierce, but it's also with the last podcast. It's called The Notorious Marjorie Taylor Greene, so you can check that out. Kind of the short version of all of it was she said some kooky things, and that's undeniable, and she was a private citizen. She was trying to flesh out some things going on, and some of her conclusions were a little wacky. But she's co-sponsored some very solid conservative legislation since taking office, and I think that's important to note too. Also, she went on the House floor before the vote, and it was a very, I linked to it, and if I can, I'll remember it, I'll try to link to it in the show notes. But it was, I thought, a pretty moving speech where she talked about kind of the process that she took as a private citizen. Again, very important to note, she did not say these as a congresswoman. She said them before she even was running for office. So hopefully this means that she has taken some time to think about it. But I thought it was a moving speech, and she hit on a lot of things, and she explained where she was coming from, and she explained where maybe she got things wrong and how she has corrected her way of thinking. All right, I thought it was a smart thing to do before they took the vote. And I've been thinking a lot this week about grace, specifically the need to offer grace to others during what is undeniably a time of great stress, political chaos, uncertainty for a lot of people. That, of course, doesn't mean turning a blind eye to bad behavior. You know, it needs to be called out when it needs to be called out. But not cancel culture, just people on our side. Hey, maybe this weren't the best ideas to speak publicly on, and maybe you should have scrubbed it all before you ran for office. That's another podcast. But to acknowledge we're human, we make mistakes. Sometimes we need room and time and space to think about these things, research them a little more, and flesh them out, and maybe hopefully come out the other side a better person. That's the grace I would like to offer Marjorie Taylor Greene. Again, I don't agree with what she said. I think some of it was pretty kooky. But as a sitting congresswoman, there's certain things I like her to do, and I think she has done them. So, all right. Did her fellow Republicans offer Marjorie Taylor Greene some grace in light of her mea culpa on the House floor? Some did not. Most of them did, though, and I think that was important to note. Concerningly for me, three of the ladies from the freshman GOP class, the Fierce Force, joined with Democrats and voted in favor of removing Green from her committee assignments, which is unprecedented, which is just something that, you know, do we want to go down that? I mean, everybody goes, hey, if the Republicans take back the House in 2022, oh boy, the Democrats are in for it. I don't believe that. I mean, I think there's a good chance that the Republicans do take the House. I really hope that they do. But they're never quite as mean and vindictive. It's a really hard word to say on this sunny and snowy, alternatively, at the same time here in Leesburg day. But I just don't find the Republicans to be as vindictive as the Democrats. And I think maybe they should be. All right, so the final vote was 230-199, with 11 Republicans choosing not to support Marjorie Taylor Greene. There are three of them, again, that I am most interested in. The first is Young Kim, the new congresswoman from California. She was already on my radar for being kind of quiet. She definitely seems to be talking a lot about business things, which in California, I hear you, that is probably the topic du jour besides personal freedom, is helping businesses. So that's cool. Again, I'm looking for a little bit more fight. So it was disappointing to see that she didn't support Marjorie Taylor Greene. We'll keep an eye on things. Maria Elvira Salazar, she is a new congresswoman from Florida who has been very outspoken about U.S. relations with Cuba and holding them accountable for human rights violations, which has been very well received. And like President Trump before her, she has decided to donate her federal salary to charity, which, you know, I like to see that. She's from Florida, though, and some of MTG's comments were about Parkland, and she questioned some things behind it, whether it was a false flag. She questioned, just, you know, in general, had some maybe weird little things to say about it, and also got into some altercations with David Hogg, who was a student at Parkland at the time of the shooting and has since become a far left superstar who's apparently starting his own pillow company and couldn't find a union backed manufacturer to do it. So we'll see how great that pillow is. Okay, so it was a politically expedient decision, I think, for Salazar to say, you know, you can't say things like this about Parkland. This has affected our community, our state greatly. And so I see where she's coming from. I maybe don't agree with it, but I see where she's coming from. And there's Nicole Meliotakis, who is the new congresswoman, who's one that I really like, actually, from New York. And she has taken on Andrew Cuomo quite a bit, and AOC, these people right in her own state who are doing very, very bad things. So she does have that fight that I like to see, that I was really hoping from the Fierce Force, but she aligned with the Democrats, which is a little bit disappointing. I mean, I'm not wiping these people out. I'm not kicking them out of the Fierce Force yet, but I am keeping an eye on things and hoping that we see a lot of fight in all of these ladies. And the right kind of fight, fighting the Democrats kind of fight. Not necessarily your own party, but we'll get to that. It's important to note that Representative Green, Congresswoman Green, is being removed from her committee assignments. Boy, I'm telling you, there's something about today where I can't talk. I think it's that it snowed in the morning here in Leesburg, and now it's sunny and kind of warm, so it's got me all befuddled. Anyway, she has been removed from her committees, but she retains her seat in Congress. And as she noted at a post-vote press conference, she was just going to have a lot of time now to bother people. So I guess we'll see how that goes. This week also saw a vote by the House Republican Conference on whether or not to keep Representative Liz Cheney of Wyoming as conference chair, which is the third highest ranking position in GOP House leadership. She's been under fire for her vote to impeach former President Donald Trump and her insistence that he incited the violence that overtook Capitol Hill on January 6th. The Republican Party in her own state reprimanded her for her vote. And as I am recording this, I just wrote an article earlier, which I will also try to remember to link. But you know, today with the snow and the sun and the warm, I don't know what's going to happen. That yesterday, which would be Saturday, February 6th, the state GOP in Wyoming officially censured her, asked her to step down and to give back any money, any donations that they made to get her reelected in 2020. So, yowza. She survived the vote. She lives to fight another day, and hopefully she starts fighting for the correct things. The conservative grassroots will be watching her very, very closely going forward. So it'll be interesting to see if she extends any olive branches. I don't see that she will, particularly to people who support Trump. She was on Fox News Sunday today, basically doubling down, saying he is not someone that should be embraced by Republicans. He is not a leader. And I guess she is, but okie dokie. We'll just have to keep an eye on that one as well. Of note is the breakdown of the GOP votes that went against the two ladies in question. GOP votes to remove Marjorie Taylor Greene. Again, that was 11 Republicans that joined with the Democrats to remove her. And then it was a secret vote of just the Republican House Conference. So it was only Republicans voting on Cheney, and that was 61. And it was a secret vote. So we're not really sure unless people came out to say if they voted to remove her from to remove Cheney from her seat or not. So I think that's very interesting. A lot more people voted to remove Cheney in the secret vote. So I don't know if Cheney has the moral high ground here. I don't think so. But it also is interesting to note Cheney did not vote to remove Marjorie Taylor Greene. So it's a mixed bag. We got a mixed bag here with the Fierce Force this week. And Cheney is not necessary. She's going to have to do a lot more to earn a spot aboard the Fierce Force. I'm just saying that. She is not yet invited. The invitation has not been extended to her. We will have to see if she earns it by fighting the freaking Democrats and stop talking about Trump. We'll see. So I don't think it's great news for Liz Cheney, and I think it's somewhat better news for Marjorie Taylor Greene going forward. If you read the newsletter, you'll know I've been a bit hard on Representative Nancy Mace. She's a new congresswoman from the great state of South Carolina. I've been a bit hard because she has been in front of the news media a lot since taking office a short, 4 weeks ago or so. She really likes to be in front of the camera, and she goes on CNN and MSNBC and I think courts the media a little bit. And I don't ever think that that's a great idea for a committed conservative because it will always backfire. It will always backfire, but maybe not in this case. So I got serious kudos for her this week. Nancy Mace, keep it up, girl. The other big story the past 48 hours when I was writing that, but the past week, one of the big stories towards the end of the week was drama queen AOC talking about how she had to run for her life during the insurrection on January 7th. She had to run from the Capitol, and you all know the story. She just kind of made it sound way more dramatic than it really was, and it turns out that Nancy Mace's office is two doors down from AOC's, and she had a different version of the facts, which said that she was two doors down, and there were no insurrections storming the hallway, and it really led to a back and forth between the two. And again, this is what we're here for. This is what we want. The media lapdogs will give AOC and her fellow squad members a pass every time. So a counterbalance was desperately needed. Nancy Mace's own background is a testament to overcoming serious adversity, including a sexual assault, and shaking off the mantle of victimhood to achieve her goals. Again, this is what we need the Fierce Force. They are not acting like victims. They are going about their business, getting things done, whereas AOC is drama queen to the max. Ugh, everything's so emotional and fake. Lying. So the opposite of AOC, who creates victimhood where there is none, thus minimizing the plight of actual assault victims, the New York Post quoted Nancy Mace as saying, when you exaggerate it or are dishonest about how you represent what happened, it waters down everyone else's trauma. And that's absolutely true. And that's why we need to fact check AOC all the time, all day, every day. And because Nancy Mace has a little bit of capital built up with the media, which of course, this is what I complained about, her willingness to take on AOC's false account of January 6th is a headline maker. And it was, it's been all over the place. She's taken on Ilhan Omar. She's doing exactly what I want to see her do. And again, at the same time, the most important thing is fighting for good legislation. So, all right, there's a ceasefire with Nancy Mace going on. All right, there are a few other media pieces about Mace I wanted to flag, and the links are in over at Fierce. There's one that talks about how she radiates authenticity and enthusiasm, and how one says she's a maverick in the John McCain sense. This is not a compliment. So again, mixed feelings about Nancy Mace. I think the good is gonna outweigh the bad with her though. A few other points of interest about the Fierce Force this week. Ashley Hinson, who is a new congresswoman from Iowa, introduced a bill to require all public schools that got COVID-19 relief money as part of December's stimulus package that they open at least 50% in person. the Democrats rejected that. But I hope she keeps it up. I think this is the kind of stuff that regular everyday Americans want to see, whether they are Democrats or Republicans. They want their kids back in school. So I hope she keeps up. Nicole Malliotakis, who I talked about not supporting her colleague in the Fierce Force, she is calling on the Department of Justice to investigate Governor Andrew Cuomo's handling of nursing homes during the COVID-19 pandemic. And obviously, we all know it's a travesty. His executive order and crazy ensuing craziness that resulted in thousands and thousands of probably needless nursing home deaths. And it's something that we've seen Janice Dean, who is the weather chick over at Fox News, call him out, because her two in-laws, her mother-in-law and her father-in-law, are both in nursing homes and both died because of what Andrew Cuomo did. Oh my, I definitely need to slow down. So Congresswoman Malliotakis is trying to get the DOJ involved. So kudos for her on that. I'd like to see her support her fellow congresswoman a little more, but okay, this is good. Kristi Noem showed her front. Do I have to even explain who she is? She's the governor of South Dakota. She showed her fundraising prowess by raising $1 million in the fourth quarter. Will we see a presidential run? I don't know, but apparently the New York Times is deeply worried about the possibility. I linked to the article over at Fierce, and well, they should be, as South Dakota was the only state to see a decrease in unemployment in 2020. And of course, she kept the state open. There were no mask mandates. There was no school shutdown. There was cases of COVID. Obviously, it's a pandemic and it is a real disease, but she decided business is normal. And I think ultimately that was probably a good decision for her state and positions her really well going forward. Whether she wants to run or not, she says she doesn't. I guess we'll find out. So something I do in the newsletter is ask a question of the week. And I would love to pose it to all of you and have you chime in if you'd like. Do you agree with the House's decision to remove Marjorie Taylor Greene from her committee assignments? I mean, I'd like to know why, if you think that they should have, what the reasoning is there, and if you think that they shouldn't have, again, what was the reasoning? So the email for me is fierce, F-I-E-R-C-E, at substack.com. That's the email. Let me know. What do you think? I might share your answer in next week's newsletter, which is what I like to do. I like to ask your question, and I like to say what you guys said. So again, let me know. I would love to know your feelings about Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's not going anywhere just yet. I do include some other links over there about the Fierce Force, things that they're doing. Kat Kamick, she's a great new one from a new congresswoman from Florida. She spoke at the March for Life. I'm even following Nikki Haley because I think she's going to be a major player going forward. And she's accused the Biden administration of snubbing Israel, so it's always good. Anyway, that was basically it for the newsletter. Again, go over to fierce.substack.com and join. I would be great. If not, then listen to the podcast. We can be found everywhere there are podcasts, especially Ricochet Audio Network, but also iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud. There's something else. iHeart Radio, I think. It's been so long, I'm a little rusty, but anywhere you can find a podcast, you will find the Smart Girl Politics podcast. So thank you all again for tuning in. I would love to hear from you. Hit me up at fierce@substack.com if you have some opinions on Marjorie Taylor Greene. Would love to hear them. Would love to share them. Hope you're doing well. If not, again, let me know. I'm here to give you a positive word because grace, right? I don't know. I'm probably a hypocrite on this one. We'll find out about that one too. Take care. Have a great few days until I join you again on the Smart Girl Politics podcast. Bye, everyone.